Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Mike Shope.
We were having a very serious conversation about mayonnaise here.
And the Bulldog.
And don't even talk to me about weed.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Okay, well, for the director's cut, we have a pretty good story about what just happened. For the director's cut edition.
Very well done. Yes.
Like I don't know. I'll just say it, right?
Yeah, sure.
So Joe does a tremendous job for us. And is this Luke? Okay. Well, the story can wait. I'll tell the story, but it's good. The story can wait. The important part is what I just said. Joe does a tremendous job for us. Joining us now on the West Her Hotline is Luke Fox of Sportsnet. It gives me extra pleasure to tell you that on Twitter you can find Luke at Luke Fox Jukebox. That's really good. And Luke, also, I'm just going to pile on here. You put weaponize as the first word of your column and in the headline. I am reading that column. Love it.
That was that's an old headline writing trick. Put a exciting word like that, and people will click on, and then they'll be vastly disappointed that I'm just talking about boring things like NHL salaries.
Right.
No, that's just the kind of subject right. that needs the word weaponized,
right.
though.
You got that, and then I think maybe a piece that preceded it by a little uses infernos as well. So, like, you're right on top of it.
Yeah. You have any questions for us? I mean, we're just all over you here so far, Luke.
I'm just desperate for content until the Stanley Cup final starts. So, I'm just trying to make people excited with my verbiage.
Well, one team you mentioned, which is part of the reason we wanted to talk, as a team that has cap room to really work with, is the Sabres. And I've got a question I want to wait on first, but just like, how do you look at the Sabres right now, Luke, with that in mind and just, you know, the longest drought in the league now, how bad is it? You could tell us that it's like really they're in bad shape, or maybe not.
I don't think they're in horrible shape. I just think, unfortunately, the fan base, and they probably don't want to hear this because they have been very patient and very loyal. And I just think more patience is required, especially when you consider the division the Sabres are in. You know, that one of the teams is about to play for the Stanley Cup. Another one is the Toronto Maple Leafs that has, you know, rebuilt properly and slowly in the right way, and they expect to be contenders. Florida now just got Joel Quenneville, and they're expected to make a major splash in free agency. You know, that the rumors about Bobrovsky and Panarin just won't quit. Montreal seems to be getting a little bit better. I just think the Sabres...
Didn't mention Tampa, Luke. You might get to them maybe too, right?
Tampa's without saying. I mean, yes, of course, Tampa. So there you go, the President's Trophy winners and the team with the best regular season record in the generation. So... it's a tough division, but what I really like about Buffalo is the fact that Botterill isn't acting like they're one or two pieces away. From everything I've read, every press conference I've seen him give, he's taking a slow and patient approach. I think he brought in a really interesting coach in Ralph Kruger. They do have cornerstones at key positions in terms of a number one defenseman and a number one center that, you know, should be peaking around the right time. So, unfortunately, it's going to require a little bit of patience, and there's lots of holes to fill in. I really like the Brandon Montour deal. I think he took advantage of Anaheim's situation there, and I think that defenseman's best days are still ahead of him. So I think the moves are happening, and it may be slower than some people in Buffalo like, but I think the future will be bright.
You know, with that in mind, like Tampa and Buffalo seem like Tampa is one of these teams that's on the Inferno list, and Mike already mentioned that Buffalo's on this list that could weaponize cap room. And so we've been seeing and hearing about Ryan Callahan. big cap number, no production, and even ties to Rochester, if that matters for this. So if the Sabres were to work there, you know, whatever it is Tampa might be interested in, Rasmus Ristolainen or something else, would I rather get a player to plug into my second line like JT Miller, or should, with this patient approach you're suggesting that Bottrell seems to be taking, think about younger guys who maybe aren't even in the league yet that could be better than JT Miller?
Yes. I think you're looking at Tampa's prospect pool, maybe some of their picks. But if I'm Bottrell, I'm giving Julian Breezeball a call and maybe taking that Callahan contract off his hands, and in hopes that you can attach something young and enticing or a roster player to that. You know, I think Ryan Callahan is a great guy. He's just overpaid, and he was on the fourth line in Tampa, and then sometimes even a healthy scratch. And a year ago, he had some significant injury issues. But he's reasonably healthy now. He's just expensive, but he could slide under the Sabres cap quite nicely, and I think he would be an excellent leader in that room and help guide some of the young guys. He does everything the right way. You know, I've talked to a lot of his teammates, both when he was with the Rangers and with the Lightning, and everyone speaks very highly of the guy. It's just, you know, he realizes that his price tag is just too high, and there's only one more year on it. And I think that actually lines up well with Buffalo, because they have another year until, I believe, Reinhardt's up again. That summer is the summer you can start talking about inking Dahlin into a long-term deal, and some other guys are up. So this is a year where, you know, if you're realistic and you don't think you're a contender, why not try to poach something valuable in addition to taking that Callahan contract off Tampa's hands? It's worth a phone call at least.
With Luke Fox of Sportsnet, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR. Luke, what do you think happens with Skinner?
I think he weighs all his options. I don't see why a guy would wait this long and not just wait it out another, what, month and 10 days or so, or whatever we have left until free agency. Once you've waited this long, I'm sure his agent's saying, yeah, I know you're seriously considering Buffalo, but that interview period is only a few days away. We saw what happened with John Tavares. He invites everyone into the room. He gets the best pitches from everybody, and then he makes his decision. I don't think that means he's ruled out Buffalo because he hasn't re-signed yet, but I just think when you've come this far and you're his age and you put up the kind of numbers he put up, and, you know, I think next to probably Panarin, he's going to be the most valuable winger on the open market. Why not at least take the interviews and go from there? I'd be really interesting to see how much, you know, I heard some talk about he was wanting to see who the coach was, and of course you want to know who it is, but now that he knows who it is, I would love to know if Kruger kind of wowed him a little bit, mm-hmm. or you know, swayed his decision at all, because I got a chance to interview him a few times, Ralph Kruger, when he was in Toronto for the World Cup in 16, and the man is an amazing speaker, and he's got some really creative viewpoints. He's a really interesting guy to talk to. So if you're going to have a coffee with a guy and you're a hockey player and you're considering whether you want to play for a man, I think he's the kind of guy that could convince you a little bit. But, you know, when Skinner's come this far, he wants to see what kind of term and dollars are on the table from all his potential suitors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's always made sense. What's curious to me is that Jason Bottrell last week, after he hired Ralph Kruger, was on our station and sounded more upbeat about, I don't know, he didn't say that they're going to avoid that, but he spoke in terms like, well, nothing's done until it's done, but I feel really positive about our conversations, and, you know, we've been good for Jeff, and Jeff's been good for us, and all that sort of stuff. There was really no hedging by Bottrell, and I don't know, that could be for some reason that I can't think of, but it sounded to me like a guy talking who thinks he's going to get him signed before the window opens for him to leave.
Well, maybe it's closer than I think. You know, I'm just kind of putting myself in Skinner's shoes, and you know, I'm sure if he said I wanted to wait, Botterell's not going to say, "Well, you gotta do it in May or it's off the table." Mm-hmm. And he respects the player and the fact that he wants to go through the process. I just think these careers are so short. There's the risk of injury. I just think you want all the information available to you before you commit your life to 7 years, 8 years, if it's Buffalo, perhaps. But that's great. That's great because if Buffalo is positive and if things are trending well and Jeff likes it there, I think it's a good fit because if he does walk, you know, then you start looking back and the trade that looked like a steal of a deal out of Carolina doesn't look so good. And you're out there hunting again because Jack Eichel, when you have that kind of talent, you need to surround him with a winger who can score. So now you're back hunting again. So if they are close, that's very positive.
With Luke Fox of Sportsnet here on WGR, you mentioned offer sheets in this article too, and even a couple names. Do you think that's coming in the league? Do you think this will be the offseason where we actually see offer sheets?
Well, I don't want to scream that we're going to see an offer sheet because we haven't seen one in years and years. And even when we have seen them, they've always been matched. It's so rare, but it's just kind of something fun for fans to talk about. I would be shocked, but if there is going to be a year, I don't see why this one wouldn't be it, just because some of the teams that are in that cap inferno, like I mentioned, are also the teams with critical RFAs to sign. And at the top of that list, in my mind, is Tampa with Braden Point. So do they move? Are they able to buy out or trade Callahan? Do they move a Killorn or a Tyler Johnson or JT Miller, one of these other players, in order to find Point? Or do they risk, you know, letting a team who's desperate for a number one center come along and try and offer sheet Braden Point? Or Sebastian Aho in Carolina, why isn't he re-signed yet? That's very curious. You know, he's the franchise center that they've been looking for forever, and you know, it's obviously not done yet. So there's some big names out there. I still think those are long shots, just because the price tag to get a guy like that, you'd have to offer him something over $10 million a year, and the price tag is 4 first rounders, and it would take a GM with a lot of gumption to offer up 4 first rounders. But what I do think is possible is maybe that second tier, lower tier type of offer sheet. And I think guys at risk of that would be like a Kester and Kapanen or Andreas Johnsson in Toronto, where if you offer them, you know, in the 3 to 4 million, I think maybe it's 4 million, the cost is only a second rounder. And that's the kind of guy that Toronto's in such a cap crunch that they might not be able to match. Unless Kyle Dubas can strike a trade of one of those guys before the offer sheet window opens up, I think those guys are more at risk of that. Another name might be Kevin LeBlanc in San Jose. He might be one of those lower tier offer sheets that people might take a look at because they have so many guys that they need to resign.
There's different ways you can approach it too. Like just thinking about the big guys in Tampa and in Toronto with Mitch Marner, you know, you would offer sheet big money to those guys because the cap is a crunch for those teams. Carolina, I don't know what their cap situation is offhand here, sitting here right now, but that's a team that probably just doesn't want to spend all the money that they possibly can each year. And so you could like just put the pressure on them by signing Aho to a big, big number that is not palatable to them and see what happens.
Now, you're exactly right. They're actually one of the lowest cap teams, but they're a budget team. And it's really curious that he's not re-signed yet. The GM needs a new deal. There's a lot of people, not just on the ice, but off the ice, that are looking for pay raises. And Tom Dundon has, you know, traditionally, even though it's only been a little while, drawn kind of a hard line in the sand. That's what he did with his RFAs last summer in Lindholm and Hanifin. And then he ended up trading them to Calgary for guys where he knew what their price was going to be because the negotiations weren't going well. So it's going to be really interesting with Tom Dundon at the helm, how the RFA negotiations go with Aho, because this is the kind of guy you can't let walk out the door. You know, he's a young talent. He plays center. He wasn't spectacular in the playoffs, but he's a type of learning curve you have to go through. But he's one of your best players, and he got you into the dance and broke the longest drought in the NHL up until that point. So you have to pay a guy like that, or else how are you going to attract anyone to your franchise if you show that you can't keep guys like that? So Carolina is going to be really fascinating to watch because, like you said, traditionally they are a budget team. Now, I do know that, you know, season ticket renewal sales are already pumped up significantly because of their run this year, and they have attracted some new fans. But a lot of people are watching that situation closely because traditionally they haven't doled out a lot of money for players, coaches, GMs, any of that. And there's a lot of question marks there.
You know, Luke, the point you make, and we talked about it at the beginning, about patience and your sense that Jason Botterill will be patient here. We talk about that kind of thing all the time. I mean, the Sabres are 8 years since the playoffs. The Bills, too. You know, like, we're sort of stuck in this place where, you know, patience is good, but, you know, everybody's just kind of restless and whatever. And so we're always talking about that. And I think if I were Botterill, and maybe this goes without saying, the number one thing I would want to know for whatever my plan is going to be is, well, how much time do I have? You know, like, if I think Tim Murray acted like, and I think also just was the type where I don't think I'm going to be here for very long.
Yeah, he acted like his chair was on fire.
Yeah. And, you know, you saw what happened. Like, they went after it and, you know, didn't work. So, I mean, I think that's real. And I don't know what happens. Maybe Botterill knows that answer, but there's just been so many changes here. Everybody, I think, would agree that patience is better. That's what everybody would always want to stand for. I just think all the time about whether that's actually the case here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure how much rope the Pegulas are giving him, but I do think, you know, one of the quotes that stood out to me that he said this season is, "We haven't arrived yet," and that wasn't that far off. You know, the really hot start the Sabres got on, and then obviously things tailed off from there. But just that he's realistic, and there are no quick fixes in the NHL. Teams that do, they flounder. You know, I'm thinking about Vancouver. They missed the playoffs, and then they went out and made a splash and signed Louis Erickson in the offseason, overspent on him, and they're regretting it now because they didn't realize that they were a team that needed to reset, that needed to rebuild. And yes, Botterill's inherited, you know, some other people's problems, but I do think he's going to take the right approach. Yes, how long of a rope does he have? I don't know. But another thing that stood out to me, this is when he got hired, is we need to start fixing things even down in the AHL level in Rochester. And he started talking about, you know, his sense of that team is that there was a sort of this divide between how closely the farm system was working with the big club. And that, I know he's gone to great lengths to try to improve that relationship and try to, you know, be teaching the same systems down there as they are in the higher level, so that when the young talent's ready, it's a smoother transition. Little things like that suggest that he's in it for the long haul.
Yeah, they have had better seasons, but they did get bounced both years, I think, and swept, actually, in both years, right out of the playoffs. So that was tough. But I think if you were grading objectively, I think you'd give him pretty good marks on following through on what you're talking about here with what he wanted to accomplish by sort of getting Rochester on track. I think that's worked so far mostly.
Yeah, and it's more about process than results when you're talking about the AHL team. I mean, yes, you want to create a winning culture and have success there, but it's more about, you know, are the right people running that organization? Are the guys who come up, are they more prepared than they were earlier? You know, getting something plus a little bit secondary to, are we grooming these guys the right way? I have a question for you guys, though.
Good.
How do you sense that in Buffalo about Ryan O'Reilly playing for the Stanley Cup? Are people supportive of him? Are they down on him? Or what's the sense there?
Well, it's going to be mixed. It's really, you know, in one way, it's embarrassing. I mean, this was, they traded for him, they signed him, and look at the return so far, Luke, right? Like, it's just not even just that he's in the finals, but it just really looks bad for the Sabres. You know, at the end of it, we talked about this a lot yesterday. I found a poll that I put up on Twitter from June of last year when we were starting to think that was going to happen. And it was for fans, do you hope Ryan O'Reilly gets traded? And 56% said yes, I think it was, and 44% said no. Like, it was pretty split then, but, you know, you've got this, you know, eight-year drought and a lot of restlessness, and that's kind of the whole point of the conversation here is right. How patient is right to be. And, you know, that was just a trade that people were kind of ready for that. And you got to trade somebody good or big to fix.
Yeah.
And, you know, here we are again wondering what to do.
Yeah, I think you have a pretty good idea how it could be here. There's definitely a lot of course he's in the finals. And of course he's going to win the Selke Trophy because we had him and we traded him away. Like, woe is me. Nothing goes our way. Like, that's, you know, that's going to be a lot of places. But, again, 8 years without the playoffs will wear you out.
Yeah. Well, it'll just make the winning that much sweeter when it does come.
There it is.
That's nice. That's a great way to cap.
Let's end it.
That is spectacular.
There it is. Mic drop.
All right.
Thank you, Luke. Always a pleasure.
Oh, thanks for having me on. Enjoy the evening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.